Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's podcast is all about what you do when the parent is the one who needs the new skill. But before we get to the podcast, just a couple of quick announcements. Remember, the Parenting Your ADHD Child course is available on paideallc.com. In the show notes, you're going to find the link that's going to take you right to the course page so that you can read through the outline and see what the course is all about and what you'll get if you sign up for and take that course. It'll be there for you forever and ever once you sign up for it. Even when we add new material, it's going to be there for you. Also, remember that the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management, and the Elimination Diet Manual are both available on Kindle for immediate download. You can get them through the Amazon store very quickly. Great books to help you not just look at your child's behavior from birth through adolescence, but also to look to see if their diet or anything that they're consuming on a daily basis may be contributing to any of the emotional or behavioral challenges that you may be having with him or her in your day-to-day life. But the Elimination Diet Manual is also something that you can use for yourself. So it's not just for kids anymore. All right, I think that's all the announcements. Thanks so much for checking out this podcast. And there's a little bit of a surprise that you're going to see right after the intro. So stay tuned. And I hope you enjoy this podcast on what to do when the parent needs to build the new skills. Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
And look
back,
who's here.
Back by popular demand.
He is back. Finally. I'm so happy that he's back. And this is his first time on camera.
It is. But it'll be great.
It'll be great.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
Little anxious about being on camera and being back and getting back into the swing of things. Right. But
and I'm told that the camera adds 30 or 40 pounds.
Something like that.
Okay.
Something like
but
that.
But I'm ready. It's good to be back.
And I'm glad to have my partner back.
It's good to be back.
Good. So.
I'm a bit rusty, though.
Are you?
You have to know.
Well.
I'm a bit rusty.
We'll ease into it.
Okay.
We'll ease into it.
Good.
So today's podcast, we're going to talk about what if therapy, when we're talking about working with kids, what if the therapy doesn't really need to be for the kid? What if we really need to work with the parents to build skills?
Before we start, you know, we've talked to parents about this before.
Yeah.
And we'll say to them, well, you know, if you want change to occur, you know, you have to be willing to make some changes,
yeah.
You know, and parents automatically react to them, well, I don't have a problem.
Right.
My child has a problem. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about something very, very different.
Right.
Right.
Right. But that does happen because, you know, and one of the things we tell the parents that we work with is that, you know, the child lives in a system. And whenever there's something wrong with a system, you don't just focus on one cog, because when you by the time that system gets to us,
right,
that cog has been out of whack for a little while.
For some time, right.
And by the time it gets to that point, then other cogs are affected as well. And so we, you know, many times it's not just the child that needs to have some work. It's the parents, it's the school, it's the entire system. So
right,
we have to
right.
Focus on the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and I think what you're getting at is that sometimes that initial cog that's a little bit wobbly, a little bit out of whack,
right.
Sometimes that initial cog isn't the child.
Right.
Sometimes it's the parent.
That's right. Right.
So for those of you who heard it back in episode 89, I talked about parenting styles and how, you know, the different things that we experience and that we go through in life that it influences our parenting style. One of those things, or the last point that I made in that podcast, is the importance and significance of insight. We have to be able to recognize how these different aspects and different factors interplay so that we can make decisions and we can make modifications if we need to.
Right.
This is sort of getting us to the point what we're talking about today. We have to be able to recognize that we as parents sometimes, I'm going to say it this way, we as parents sometimes are the problem.
Right. Right. But many times we are.
Yeah.
William Glasser talks about you can't change anybody else. You can only change yourself.
Exactly.
And this sort of is consistent with that notion, is that if you want your children to change, you may have to change something about yourself first.
Right.
Okay. But that's a skill set that some parents may not possess.
Right.
It's not their fault. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
It's just a skill set that they may not possess. They may not be able, they may not have the knowledge or the experience or the background or the temperament to make the changes that will affect change in the child.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we talk about or we think about people seeking treatment, seeking support and seeking assistance for some of these things, and parents say, oh, no, I'm not the one that's the problem. He's the one with the problem. Well, recognizing and being willing to admit or acknowledge that you're the one that needs some new skills,
that's
a pretty powerful and important thing.
But what you said was that the parent needs skills. You're not saying the parent has the problem.
Right.
Right. And that's a huge distinction.
Right.
And an important distinction. We're not saying the parent has a problem. We're saying the parent needs to learn a different skill set.
Right.
Okay. In order to affect change in the child.
Right. And you know, this came to light, and we've been talking about this because a number of patients that we've been seeing and families that we've been working with over the past few years, they come in and we get to be at a loss because, you know, you do everything you can to mm-hmm. work with the kid and to help the child. And, you know, then when they come back, nothing's changed. And you ask, well, what's going on? Why are we not seeing change? Because we should be, if everybody's doing what they should be doing, why are we not seeing change?
Right.
And what we find is that there is that gap, that missing skill mm-hmm. that the parent needs. You know, we talk about sort of those three foundational key aspects of healthy parenting, and those being consistency, predictability, and immediacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the three right. aspects mm-hmm. of parenting that are so important so that we can create a nice, predictable, structured home.
Right.
Some parents just can't be consistent.
I'm thinking about parents, for example, a parent with ADHD.
A parent with ADHD,
adults
absolutely.
Adults do have ADHD. And if they can't be consistent, predictable, and provide immediate feedback or immediate consequences, this system, the system you talk about, is
right.
going to break down.
Absolutely.
That's going to be the cog that yeah. starts to break down. And again, it's not that we're not saying you have the behavior problem. We're saying that it may be a skill you don't possess.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so, and it can break down at any of those points, whether it's the consistency, the predictability, or the right. immediacy.
Mm-hmm.
Those anywhere in that system or in that those skills,
right.
the system can break down, and we're going to have a problem. Because no matter how hard you work at the other things, if you have that gap in
right.
your foundational skills, it's not going to work. It's not going to be as effective as mm-hmm. it otherwise could or should be.
Right.
And we see this time and time again. So we really need to be willing as mm-hmm. parents mm-hmm. to accept and acknowledge and understand that sometimes we have to have this, we
right.
need to build skills just as much as our kids do.
You know, this reminds me a little bit of, remember that, I don't know whether the show is still on TV. Do you remember the show, The Nanny? Remember with this woman who would,
Fran Drescher.
British? No. She was British.
Oh, yeah.
And she would come into their, she would go into people's homes.
Yes.
And she would work with the child. She would observe the parents.
Right.
And then she would work with the child. Well, I think the value of what she did is that she was observing the parents
mm-hmm.
to see if they were consistent, to see if they were, if it was predictable, and to see if they were responding immediately with consequences or to the child. I think that was the valuable thing that she brought, is
right.
that she was actually observing it.
Yeah.
Typically, we don't do that.
Right.
And we're missing that piece.
Yeah.
But that's where parents have to be honest and say, no, I'm not always consistent.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm not consistent in these cases or at this time of day or under these circumstances.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we have had many times the challenge of talking with parents and, you know, the parents say, well, you know, he needs to do this and this and this. And so
right.
they're very good at delineating the expectations for the child.
Right.
And then we say, okay, well, for the child to do these things, this is what you need to do. And they will be gung-ho. They'll say, yes, we'll do it. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back a couple weeks later and they weren't able to do
working.
It.
Right.
And again, you know, we have to resist that urge of than blaming the child. Well, you know what? He just wasn't getting it. And so because he wasn't getting it, I just said, okay, that's not going to work. Well, it's not going to work if you're not consistent.
Right. Right.
So we really need to be willing to acknowledge it. And when we think about the consequences of not accepting that fact,
right?
When we think about the consequences of not accepting the fact that we as parents may sometimes need to build skills and be the one to at least initiate the change that's needed in the home, well, we're going to end up with some problems. You know, certainly progress is going to be limited.
Right.
You know, we can do a lot of things with the kid to help make some changes, and we may see slight movement in a positive direction. But without the parent doing the stuff that the parent needs to do, well, that progress is only going to go so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're ready to begin a new school year.
Right.
And parents always begin with, they want their children to be motivated to do well in school. I want her to be really motivated to do well in school. But if the parents aren't setting up circumstances, a place to study,
right,
materials, one of the most important things we're all going to be dealing with this year is cell phones. Mm-hmm. You know, should we allow our children to use cell phones during homework? Well, if a parent isn't willing to have this consistent study homework time every night,
right,
you can't expect your child to bring that to the table if the parent isn't bringing that to the table.
Exactly.
So you have to make the difficult decisions. You have to bring consistency, predictability, and this every night. I want my daughter to know that at 7 o'clock, this is what she's going to be doing.
Right.
That's up to me to impose that. I can't punish or provide consequences for her for not having it if I'm not providing it.
Right.
If I'm not willing to do it. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. I'm not saying you're wrong or making a mistake. I just have to provide that consistency as her parent.
Right. And we've talked about that in previous podcasts, how important it is that when you make a plan, when you make a schedule for something, you got to stick to it.
Right.
You can't allow other things to interfere with it.
That's right.
Because the learning that you want to happen will not happen if it's not consistent.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, so progress is going to be limited if the parent doesn't acknowledge his or her limitations and that he or she needs to build some skills. But the other thing is, things could get worse. You know, there's been lots of times where I'll be sitting in session with a kid and his parents, and we'll say, okay, this is the situation.
Right.
Kid, you're going to work on these things.
Right.
Mom and dad, you're going to work on these things. Over the next 2 weeks, the kid works on his stuff. Mm-hmm. The parents don't do their things. The kid gets upset. Mm-hmm. And the kid, why would I work hard like that? Why should I continue? Right.
Right.
They're not doing what they're supposed to do.
Right. And children, I'm sorry, kids are finely attuned to that sort of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they will give up and they will quit, and it's much, much more difficult to make the adjustments that we need to after that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the best predictors of treatment failure is a history of treatment failure.
Right.
You know, if you don't get it right the first time, it's that the second time is going to be much more difficult. Mm-hmm. And so things could get worse if we resist the idea of acknowledging our own limitations. And the third thing, of course, is that we're teaching the wrong lesson.
Right.
If the parent resists saying that they have any limitations, that if they're trying to present as though they know everything, they're the parenting expert, they're doing everything exactly right, everything that's wrong in our family is because the child is broken, well,
is due to the child.
That's going to be a problem.
Right.
That's going to be a problem. Because we wonder, you know, where do kids get the idea that the divorce happens because of him? Well, if everything he hears is that, well, when there's a problem, it's because you have a problem, not because we have a problem. Well, that's where they're going to start getting those ideas that they're the reason for the issues in the home, and they're the reason for the problems in the home.
Right.
So we have to acknowledge our own part in this.
Right. That's right. It is. I mean, that's what it means. That's the parental responsibility, is that we have to lead. We have to model what we want our children to do.
Yeah.
We have to lead by example.
Exactly.
If the TV is left on during homework time, that's telling the child, you can do homework with the TV on.
Right.
So you can't prohibit it on the one hand and encourage it by modeling that behavior on the other hand.
Right. Okay?
That's all we're asking here.
Right. Yeah. In a previous podcast, I think it was episode 90, I did a podcast with Miss Cassie.
Right.
And we were talking about getting ready for the school year. And that's one of the things exactly that we were talking about is, you know, you want your kid to sit down and do homework. Well, the best way to get your kid to sit at the kitchen table to do his homework is if you're sitting at the kitchen table doing bills or doing something to model that behavior.
Model the behavior that you want.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to do this.
Yeah. And eventually, over a little bit of time, you can withdraw from that a little bit and you can pull away and you can go do some of the other things you need to do. But to begin with, to get that ball rolling, you need to start with that.
You make an excellent point there, too, that we often forget, is that parents sometimes think that, oh, I have to do this for the rest for 180 more days of the school.
Right.
No. Once you've established the habit in your child, that will continue on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not going to have to do this for 180 days. You may have to do it for 10 or 12, 15, 18, 20, or 30 days. But eventually, your child is going to develop, they're just going to accept this routine.
Right.
If it happens every day, if it happens predictably, if it happens consistently, by the end of the first month of school, this is going to be the routine in your house.
Right.
Right.
Right. And once it becomes a routine, things become much more smooth.
And you can do the laundry while she's doing her homework.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the transition is really easy to make once it becomes a routine. So,
mm-hmm.
So those can be the problems. Those are going to be the issues if we fail to recognize that we need to build some skills.
Right.
Recognizing that you need to build some skills goes back to episode 89. Insight. You have to be willing to accept, be willing to examine what your role is in some of these issues that your child is having.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if every time I expect something of my child, it leads to a fight or an argument or some type of battle, I really need to think about how I'm asking the child to do it, how I'm demanding the child to do it, how I'm expecting the child to do it, how we're communicating, when we're communicating it. I really need to look at that, because why would it be that he would do all these other things that I ask and expect of him,
right,
but he fights me every time I ask him to do this?
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something, and it can't, or typically doesn't, all lie within the child.
Right, right. And You know that you're getting close to the point where you have to question what you're doing when you start saying things like, I've tried everything and nothing works. Those are the little hints that maybe it's time to take a closer look at what you're doing and how you're doing things, because maybe a small change there will start to get this whole thing on the right track.
Yeah.
But those are the things you have to catch yourself saying, well, I've tried everything and nothing. Many parents come in here and say, we have tried everything and nothing works.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to maybe consider that you need to develop a different set of skills.
Yeah.
What you're doing isn't working.
Absolutely. Okay. Or when they say, because I love this one, they say, I've taken everything away from him. I have nothing else to take away from him.
Yeah.
Or he gets a spanking every day.
Right.
Well, obviously, if you're doing the same thing every time, and it's not getting you what you want,
right,
we got to try something new.
I think that one of it, we've taken everything.
Yeah.
You know, again, that's another very clear indication that you're headed in the wrong direction. So you have to be willing to step back, re-examine, and consider that you might have to try some other things.
Yeah.
You might have to make some changes.
Yeah, absolutely. But all of that is just being willing, having the courage to look at what's happening and to look at your situation and say, you know what? I might not be perfect.
Right.
I might not be doing everything absolutely correct. And if I can't figure it out, if I can't see what I need to change on my own, I'm going to go get some help. I'm going to have somebody else tell me what I'm doing wrong, or help me find or figure out what I'm doing wrong and find a new strategy. We have to be willing to do that.
And if I may.
Yeah. You may do anything.
Frequently, what parents are looking for are more effective punishments,
mm-hmm.
things that they can do or take away that will make their children do what they want,
right.
do what the parent wants.
Right.
And frequently they'll say, well, I've tried taking her cell phone, or I've tried taking the computer, or I've tried to, you know, grounding her, and we keep having this same problem. And frequently parents will go to friends or relatives and say, what do you do with your children? You know, what have you tried that has been successful with your children? Mm-hmm. What punishments have you used? And then they go home and they try a different punishment.
Right.
You have to move in a different direction.
Yeah.
Your punishments aren't working, okay?
Yeah.
So don't go out and shop for better punishments, more effective punishments. Think about, rethink the entire thing and get some help to move in a very different direction.
Yeah.
There are no new and better punishments.
Right.
Punishments
right.
aren't working.
Right.
So you have to move in a different direction. Don't just go out and get some garden variety advice from your friends. That may work for them, but they're not raising your child in your home.
Right. And the other thing that goes along right with that is the parent's tendency to want right now.
Yes. I want something...
We've had situations, you know, you're talking to the parent and you're saying, okay, so these are the things that you want to do because this is going to help relieve some of that anxiety and that stress that's built up. And so I want you to, you know, start exercising, and here's how we're going to work on your diet, and here's how we're going to deal with your sleep issues. And the parent says, okay, that's all great because that's going to help later on. But what happens when they have anxiety today?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides what we're talking about, some relaxation things like meditation or some relaxation techniques, things, there's nothing that's going to help and take it away right now.
Yeah, right now.
Mm-hmm. There's not. Now, that sucks, but it's the real situation. Mm-hmm. It is the real scenario that you find yourself in. But let's think about what that means. Right. Before you came in here today, mm-hmm. your kid is experiencing anxiety throughout the day and has to deal with it. Now, it may not be a strategy that's going to work perfect this first time, but we're moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
And that's what we have to recognize, is that we're moving. The idea is to keep moving in the right direction. We may not get the immediate response that we want. We may not get the change that we want today, but we're moving in that direction. That's why I always have problems with those books that say, you know, have a new kid in 3 days. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It took that kid 10 years to learn that set of skills that you got for him right now. What are you going to do in 3 days that's going to make the behaviors go away?
If you can change 10 years of habit in 3 or 4 months, wow,
right.
that's a big exchange.
That's a really good strategy that you got there.
No, it really did. All of this takes time because you always, and we've said this in previous podcasts, you have to remember that you are undoing learned behaviors.
Right.
I mean, these kids have learned these things over time. You know, if your child has been doing homework on her bed all through elementary school, that means that's like 800 days.
Yeah.
800 times that she's done that.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to learn a new skill, to learn a new way of doing things.
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing is going to happen immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's why people like punishment, because mm-hmm. punishment, if it's successful, it works right away.
Right.
It doesn't work long,
right.
but it works immediately.
Right.
And that's why many, many of us parents look for some very effective way of punishing our children, because it gets immediate results. Those results aren't going to last.
Right.
So you're in this, it's going to take time.
Right. And it's the same thing with medication.
Right.
You know, you can have a medication, and yes, that medication may change right now. Mm-hmm. It may change for the next couple of hours. But when the medication wears off, the problems are still there.
And isn't it, it's really true too, that the only medication where you see immediate effects is stimulants. If it's right.
Stimulants and benzodiazepines.
And benzodiazepines.
Those are the only two.
We're not giving benzos to kids.
Typically not. I hope not.
And so the only medication is a stimulant.
Right.
If it's the right one, and it will work within 30 or 45 minutes.
Right.
Okay. But it will only work for part of the day.
Right.
Okay. And then you're back to where you started. By 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're back to where you started. So even a medication that works that quickly, you're still going to have to do all the other things. And all those other things take time because, again, you're still building new habits.
Right. Mm-hmm. So as the parent, you still need those skills.
Right.
We can't we're not going to be able to mask our skill deficit with medication or with punishment or with any of these other things that we're talking about. Because just because it works fast doesn't mean that you're providing the parenting that your kid needs. You still have to provide that structure, that consistency, that system, that structure in the home. You still have to provide that no matter what.
Yeah. And let's, you know, we'll take the parents off the hook with this one. If your parents didn't teach you these skills,
right,
you're not going to have them. Okay? It's not your fault. It doesn't make you a bad parent. It's not your fault. If your parents didn't structure your life this way, how could you possibly know how to structure your child's life?
Right.
If your parents were inconsistent, how would you ever learn the value of being consistent,
right,
okay, or predictable, or right, immediate? If this wasn't modeled, and for many parents, this wasn't modeled,
right,
particularly parents of, what is that generation? Baby boomers.
Oh, yeah.
The hippies, right? I mean, they didn't model these things for their children.
Right.
It was kind of loosey, you know, you just go to school and, you know, it's all. And so many, many of today's parents never had that modeled for them when they were growing up.
Right.
And therefore, they're not able to model it for their own children.
Right.
It's not your fault. But these are skills that you can learn. They're available. Right. They take time. You have to be patient. And you have to be persistent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of that, the Raising Your ADHD Child course is available on May DLC.
Yes. I had somebody text me the other day, a former colleague, say, I just saw this program.
Oh.
She was really impressed.
That's awesome.
And she, I think she gave it to a relative or something as a gift.
Oh, great.
Because they've been struggling with their child. And she said, this will be perfect for my sister-in-law or something, because they've been struggling with their child. She was really happy to see that. So
yeah, that's the purpose of that course, is to help build your skills as the parent. Because again, that, you know, when it comes to a lot of the conditions that we treat in childhood, we treat the system, we treat the parents, and we treat the system. The kid, if you have a kid that who's impulsive and has difficulty focusing and attending, we can do work with him. We can teach him some social skills and things like that. But the learning process is slow. If you can learn some of the skills you need to really structure the home and everything, well, that's going to improve things much faster. Not immediate, but much faster. So
yeah, you used the word system early on when you first were introducing this. These children are in a system.
Right.
And the microsystem is the home.
Right.
And that home has to be structured in a way that makes all of these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not going to happen despite what you do. It's going to happen because of what you're doing.
Right. Okay, so. Yeah, absolutely. So I hope that's helpful for some folks. Just to think about and to be willing to accept that sometimes the change will begin with you, not with the child. The change that you're needing will begin with you,
right?
And things that you can do to change your home, and your life, and some of the decisions you make.
And I would encourage parents, don't think of this as a flaw in your parenting. Think of it as a skill deficit.
Right.
This is just a skill that you don't have. But it's a skill that you can develop.
Right.
Okay. So no, it's not a flaw. It's a skill deficit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, all right. Well, I think that's everything.
This wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be. Of course, I haven't seen the video.
Well, we'll watch the video.
But it's not as bad. This is okay.
It's not too bad?
Not bad.
All right.
It is really good to be back, though.
I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I'll stop getting emails from people asking where you are now. So that'll be good.
Did you get emails?
I did.
Popular demand. I wish.
You know?
No, it is good to be back on this rainy Friday afternoon.
Yes.
And get ready. School has started for many.
Yeah,
school started this week for some, next week for others.
Yep.
Okay, new school year, new beginnings, new opportunities.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. So
until
next time, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a great weekend. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.